Well, hey, we are in a new series that is a four-week series that we are taking over for the next 4 weeks for a month called Let's Pray, Creatively Communing with God. And I thought that this would be an important series for us because, one, I want us to be people who are prayerful. And I want us to leave this place understanding what prayer looks like and how we can do that. But before I jump in too much, let me just remind us, as many of us know, that engagement and interaction is so important to me and this place on Sunday mornings. That it is proven time and time again that when we interact, when we take notes, when we highlight, when we make eye contact with speakers, when we're not distracted by the person around us, that we actually retain more. And my hope is that if you're a freshman or if you're a grad, that when you leave this place and go to another church, that you learned here, that you engaged and interacted and actually learned more about who God is, that we experienced God in this place. And so if you don't have a Bible, if you don't have a bulletin, if you don't have a pen, raise your hand. One of the student leaders would love to give you one. I want you to have a tangible Bible in your hand. I want you to have a bulletin and a pen so you can take notes. We have an interactive Bible station in the back where you can grab tabs and highlighters and, again, all sorts of tools so that we would engage. Because Sundays, we're here to grow in our knowledge of God. Well, like I said, this is a four-week series where we are using the Psalms to pray. This is going to be a very interactive series. I thought summer is a good time to mix things up a little bit. And so this is going to be a series where we're going to interact. Part of it is going to be me teaching, and then part of it is going to be us actually experiencing and practicing a prayer practice this morning. Then what I'm going to do over the next 4 weeks is introduce us to a psalm. We're going to go through four of the most famous, well-known psalms in Scripture. Psalm 51, Psalm 23, Psalm 139, and this morning, Psalm 103. Psalms are the way that people learn to pray. The Psalms have been around for generations and generations. The Psalms were given as a way of teaching the church what prayer looks like. And so we're going to go through a psalm, and then we're going to take a psalm each week, and we're going to couple it with a prayer practice. Maybe a prayer practice that you are familiar with, maybe one that you're not, but a prayer practice that you can start to figure out creative ways to be with God. Prayer is one of the most important things in the Christian faith. And so I want to simply give you guys tools. And some of these tools, you're going to come in this morning and be like, this is awesome. I connect with this. This is great. And there may be a tool where you're like, you know what? With my ADD or the way that I interact with God, that's a great idea, but that one's not so well for me. But maybe next week's will. There's nothing special in and of themselves. These are simply just tools to help us pray. Tools to help us be with God, because I know that often we put prayer in a box and we think prayer has to look away, is a certain way. We're nervous about prayer. And what I've learned over the years and my hope through this series is that we would actually open our mind up and be like, oh my gosh, prayer can look so many different ways. And so that's my hope for us through this series. Well, hey, let's start off with a suggestion card. Raise your hand if you know what a suggestion card is. Raise your hand. That many people don't know what a suggestion card is. If you know what a suggestion card is, put your hand high in the air. High in the air. Okay. Jordan, what is a suggestion card? Okay. So a suggestion card in a church context is kind of how you would plan things moving forward. Anyone else? What is a suggestion card? Anyone know where you find suggestion cards outside of a church? Okay. Has anyone ever in here ever filled out a suggestion card? Handful of people. Okay. So clearly we don't know what a suggestion card is. So let me update us a little bit. Anyone ever been to a restaurant before? Okay. Now, most of you probably don't. Drew has been to a restaurant. He is excited about restaurants. In restaurants, you're given like a bill. And inside the bill, often there is a suggestion card, right? You're given a survey at our church and you're asked for your suggestions. Maybe you're given an email after you purchase something on Amazon or whatever, and they want to know your suggestions of your experience. How many of you have ever been on Yelp before? Okay, Yelp is basically an online suggestion card. You go to a restaurant, you have a great experience. You go to a restaurant, you have a bad experience. That suggestion cards are a way of kind of fine-tuning and either being encouraged about something, or suggestion cards are a way of saying, I need something better. That we put in our suggestions, our needs, our wants. At the property management company where we live, they have a suggestion card in the back of the office, and it says, is there anything you need from us? And you can fill out a suggestion card of like, yeah, I need my rent to be less, or yeah, I need you to put in a better sport court, or yeah, I want the pool to be heated warmer, or whatever it is. And we send these suggestions in, and then they read them and either answer them or they don't. Well, I'll never forget, at the end of each year, I have you guys fill out suggestion cards, which is what I think Jordan was getting at. And so every year I get these suggestions from you guys of things we should teach, things that you guys need, areas that we can point you to Jesus better. And I'll never forget a suggestion card that I received a few years ago. And one of the questions is like, what can we do better? And I'll never forget this one suggestion card in particular simply said on it, don't talk about poop anymore. It's gross. I'll never forget it. It was like all bold, all caps, and I just sat there. Now, luckily, suggestion cards are only suggestions, so you don't have to take them. So I clearly did not take that suggestion, because I think talking about poop is funny and weird, and maybe it is gross, but whatever. And it's natural, right? But suggestion cards are a way of giving our suggestions to someone else. I need this. I want this. We can improve on this. I'll never forget the suggestion card I gave to a restaurant a year and a half ago. I took our youth staff to this restaurant. We all sit down. There's 25 of us. Everyone's eating. And one of our staff looks at me and inside of their macaroni and cheese pulls out a clump of hair. Now, I'm not talking like a strand of hair. I'm not talking like a little eyelash of hair. I'm talking like a clump of hair. They're disgusted. I'm disgusted. So I call the manager over. The manager literally looks at me like there was like not that big of a deal. And I'm like, this is insane. Doesn't give us the macaroni and cheese for free. Doesn't bring her a new one. Okay. And I'm literally sitting there like, do I punch her? Do I not? So I don't go on Yelp a lot, but I went on Yelp to turn in my suggestion card. And my suggestion card on Yelp was simply, do not put chunks of hair in people's macaroni and cheese. Like, very simple suggestion. I end up getting a Yelp thing back from like the head person of this restaurant. They're like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. Who was it? We'll give you everything for free next time you come in. And it was really funny because clearly they liked my suggestion. Don't put clumps of hair. Well, when we think of prayer, it's important, and this is point one on your bulletins this morning. So I'd encourage you again to follow along this morning and to interact, engage. Prayer is not just a suggestion card. Prayer is not just a suggestion card where we just sit down with God and just lift up our needs. I need this. I want this. Can you give me this? Now, granted, if you turn your Bible to Philippians 4:6, you'll see that Christ actually encourages us to give our petitions and our requests to him. But prayer is not just simply that. And so often we go into prayer thinking that all prayer is just a suggestion card. And I want to encourage us as we walk into prayer that prayer is not just one-sided. That prayer isn't just a one-sided relationship, a one-sided conversation, a one-sided discussion. But it's more than that. As we think about prayer, we think about prayer being simple. And so often we think that prayer needs to be this complex thing that we have to say it in a certain tone with certain words. We have to say amen at the end of it. We have to shut our eyes. But yet prayer can be simple. Lord, I need you to help me get through this week with my family. God, I need your guidance with where I should go to college. God, give me patience today as I am so mad at my boyfriend or girlfriend. Prayer is simple. Prayer can be simply bringing our requests, our thoughts, our concerns to God, to be with God. Prayer is anytime and anywhere. Many of us grew up in homes where we pray before each meal, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And although that can be great, prayer can be anytime, anywhere. It can be at 10:14 while you're riding an elephant through Vietnam. It can be while you're sitting and watching Netflix. It can be while you're flying on an eagle over mountains. It can be wherever you want it to be at any time you want it to be. That sometimes we put prayer in this box. Prayer's honest. God, I messed up today when I lied to my friend. God, I'm really mad at my dad for doing really bad things to our family. When you go to the book of Job in the Old Testament, you see this really beautiful relationship between Job and God. And you see these conversations that Job and God had where they're not one-sided. Job speaks, God speaks back. Job tells God his frustration and pain, and God speaks back into it. Prayer is a conversation with God. It's two-sided. We both talk and we both listen. That prayer is a time where we can sit and be in conversation with God. And let me just acknowledge that I get that prayer can feel really awkward. And prayer can feel one-sided. But I want to encourage us, and for some of us, maybe this is the first time we've ever heard it. For some of us, this is just a reminder that prayer is a conversation with God. That prayer isn't this one-sided thing, but that when we pray, we get to actually commune, be intimate, be in relationship with the God of the universe, the God that knows our future, the God that knows our past, the God that knows our now. He knows our heart better than anyone else. And we get to sit and be with him. And it looks different because often God doesn't verbally, audibly talk to us. I have friends who have said they've heard the audible voice of God. We have stories in Scripture where people have heard God's audible voice. I believe that can happen. The Holy Spirit lives and dwells inside of those who put their faith in Jesus, and the Holy Spirit talks to us. And I've experienced that before where I haven't heard an old audible voice, but I have been so obviously led by something inside of me that I just know it was the Holy Spirit prompting me. But it is a different kind of relationship. It is a different kind of conversation. Most of the time, God talks to us is through his word. But prayer is a conversation with God. This series, I want us to learn how to be with God in prayer. If prayer is important, if prayer is maybe the most important thing, then I want us to learn how to be with God in prayer, to commune with him. And the whole point of this series isn't so much to talk about what prayer is, as we did a series on that, I think, a little over a year ago. But the point of the series is a little bit different. The point of the series is to introduce you to new creative ways to be with God and to commune with him. And the other huge part of this series is that we're going to do that through God's word. Some of the suggestion cards that I received from you and leaders was, can we continue to be in the Bible? And so this series, we're going to be in the book of Psalms. And we're going to be in four different Psalms as a way to be in God's word, see examples of prayer, and then learn ways to practice prayer. And summer is an awesome opportunity to do that. And at the end of each week, I'm going to leave you with a prayer challenge. And there's going to be prayer challenge in the back of the room where you get to walk through more Psalms throughout your week. And you get to take what we're talking about, the practice that we're talking about, and implement it into your week and see if it can be a creative way for you to commune with God. So week one, we're in Psalm 103. So if you've got your Bibles out, I want you to turn to Psalm 103. If you don't have a tangible Bible, iPhone Bibles are great. But on Sunday mornings, I want us to interact. If you don't know where Psalms is, it's kind of in the middle of your Bible, towards the front half middle. Don't ever be afraid to use your table of contents. If you don't know where books of the Bible are, that is totally fine to do. However you get there, find Psalm 103. And the prayer practice that I'm going to introduce us to this morning is called Lectio Divino. Lectio Divina. And it means in Latin, divine reading. Wikipedia puts it this way. In Christianity, Lectio Divina, Latin for divine reading, is a traditional Benedictine practice of scriptural reading, meditation, and prayer intended to promote communion with God and to increase the knowledge of God's word. It does not treat scripture as text to be studied, but as the living word. Lectio Divino is this way to sit with God's word, which is one of the ways he talks and speaks to us, to see what God has for us in that. Just out of curiosity, by a high raise of hands, has anyone in this room ever heard of Lectio Divina before? Raise your hand. One, two people. Okay, couple. Awesome. Great. So then this is new for almost all of us. That is really exciting and awesome. So I'm excited for that today. Okay, I want you to tab Psalm 103, but I want you to now flip away from that, and I want you to go to Colossians 3:16. So flip away from Psalm 103 for a minute, and I want you to turn your Bibles to Colossians 3:16 again. Go to your index in the front. However you need to get there. But it's so important for us to learn how to flip through God's word. If you don't have your own Bible, ask me. I'd love to get you one. If you have your own Bible and don't bring it, I would encourage you to start bringing your Bibles. Not only do you get Bible bucks here, which is always fun and awesome, but more than that, you get to then interact with your own word. So make sure you're bringing your own Bible. It's an important part of what we're doing. Colossians 3:16 says this. Follow along with me in my Bible. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. Lectio Divino is a way for us to sing psalms and hymns to Christ, a way to dwell richly in his word, in order for us to dwell with God. So Lectio Divino is broken down into four structures or practices. So Lectio Divino has four basic steps that I'm going to walk us through this morning, and then we're going to sit, and I'm going to give you time to go through this practice through Psalm 103. So the first part, the first pillar of kind of these four pillars of Lectio Divina is reading. And you'll see I put the Latin word next to it so you can kind of see where these are derived from. But the first part is reading. That you're going to open to a passage. And again, you can do this with any passage in Scripture. This is a way to pray and be with the in the Bible. And you're going to see this as we go through the other three pillars. But the first part of this pillar is to read the passage twice. Allow it to begin to dwell richly in you, opening to the possibility that the Holy Spirit may have something in it for you today. You may, as you read through it twice, find yourself beginning to notice a word or phrase. Listen in silence and be open to that phrase. So the first part of this practice is you take a piece of scripture and you read it twice. And you just read it. You can read it out loud. You can read it to yourself. Just read the passage two times and start to see if maybe there's a word or a phrase that's resonating with you. Maybe there's something that keeps popping out to you by the second reading. Maybe even in the first reading, it feels like something hits you like a big weight of bricks. Pay attention to that. The second part of this four-step process is meditation. Read the passage once again. So now you're going to read it a third time. And now notice which specific phrase, word, or image you are drawn to. Take in this word or phrase and begin to notice how it is touching your life. Why is it significant to you in particular on this day? So now you're going to read it a third time. And this time you're going to find that specific phrase, image, or word. And for a lot of us, my wife is this way, pictures come to our mind. That we read something and there's this image of a shepherd walking alongside a river, which we're going to see, and I believe it's Psalm 23 later on in this series. Maybe there's some just powerful image that comes to mind. Maybe it's one word, love, surrender, joy, rejoice, that for whatever reason today just sticks out with you. Maybe you drove to church here and you had so much joy in your heart for some reason. Maybe things are going really good at home. Maybe you got into that school or you got into that class or you're in that summer program that you wanted to get into. And so maybe just the word joy strikes you this morning. You're going to find whatever that phrase or word is. And then the third is prayer. You're going to speak to the Lord in your heart, prompted by the word or phrase given to you from the passage. Allow the Holy Spirit to begin to form a single sentence prayer in you based upon that. Let it come from your heart. So now you're going to sit and you're going to take those three times of reading through the area that maybe stuck out to you. And again, remember that this is not a theological, philosophical reading of God's word. That is so important. But this practice is different. This is the practice of prayer, of you seeing what God has for you in this reading. And so then you're going to sit and you're going to pray and you're going to formulate a one sentence prayer to God. It can be something simple. It can be a long run-on sentence, but then you're going to pray. And then the last thing that you're going to do is called contemplation. Now you're just going to sit and be open in the presence of God, receiving whatever he offers about himself or yourself. He is in the room. He is in you. And so then just sit in his presence. Flip back to Psalm 103. And I also at the same time want you to grab your pen and your bulletin from this morning. And you're going to see in your bulletin this morning that on page 6, I've kind of given you a guide to exactly how to do this. You're going to see reading, and then you're going to see you have read 1 and read 2. So read through it the first time. For those of you that like kind of to-do lists, if you want to check that off, feel free. Some of us like structure. For me, I would have this with me and I like the structure. For some of us, we don't. That's fine. Just recognize you read, you meditate, you pray, you contemplate. Again, don't set rules for this. If the structure helps, great. If there's something that you want to go away from this, great. The goal is to be with God, right? And these are simply just tools and creative ways and ideas of how to be with God. Because so often we get so confused on how do we get into the Bible? How do we read? Where do I read? What do I do? And that hinders us, right? And so what I want to do is just give us ideas so that we don't feel so hindered. Oftentimes, students come up to me and say, I want to read the Bible, but I don't know where to start. The idea of not knowing where to start, it hinders us. But once we know, oh, I can start in the book of Matthew. Or, oh, I don't need to start in Genesis. Or, oh, I don't have to read a whole chapter every day. I can read 5 verses a day. Then what does it do? It takes those barriers away where now we can step in to being with God. You're not going to do this perfect. This doesn't come overnight. Your prayer life will continue to increase. Don't judge yourself. Give yourself grace. But start to practice being intimate with God. Start to practice communing with God. And so page six is simply just a guide to help you walk through this passage. Maybe there's a passage that is like your parents' favorite passage, and maybe you go through it in this way to kind of resonate with it yourself, whatever that might be. But on page six, you'll see that it breaks down reading one and two, and then on meditation, it breaks down reading three, and then it gives you a little bit of space to maybe write out that phrase, word, or image. Again, you can write it down. You can do it in your head. It doesn't matter. This is simply to help. If it helps, if it doesn't, don't look at it. And then the third is prayer, and you'll see that it gives you some space to kind of write out that single sentence prayer. That as that comes to mind, you can write it out again. Write it, don't write it. And then contemplation, there's really no space there because contemplation is then to just sit.